What is up, everybody? It is episode 2 of the Leadlant Media Podcast. I am Joe, here with my co-host Cody, and today we will be talking about gear and what is the right gear for the right job. But anyway, so last episode we kind of introduced the studio and my position. So again, I am Joe and I am a digital media specialist here. I've pretty much been the only video person here for about the last 2.5 years. We recently, however, brought on a second video person to the team, and we have Cody here. Cody, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name's Cody. Officially, I am a digital or a social media specialist for the team. I was brought in to assist you with video stuff. I've been helping shop for equipment with you, doing a lot of the photo shoots, doing the live events, also making graphics when I can. It's been a kind of smorgasbord of different media obligations, which is a lot of fun because I definitely have a promo background and, you know, I have a film undergrad and a communications master's. So it's like, that's my wheelhouse to be doing all this stuff and making all this sort of content. So it was really exciting when one of the first tasks that Brett gave us when I started was starting to put a wish list together to get all the equipment for this studio space. So all the cameras we have for this podcast, the mixer, the mics, the cameras we use for our big productions, our travel setup, all that, we were able to compile a wish list and I think we got a lot of really good professional grade equipment.
Yeah, it's really cool how we got to choose our own type of camera equipment, and we just had a set budget, and we luckily went in or around that area and really, I think, chose some really good gear for what we need to do. So with our camcorders for the podcast, you chose the Canon XA60s, and Cody, if you want to go over a little bit why we chose those.
Yeah, so we definitely were looking in the professional grade camcorders. So when you hear camcorder, you might be thinking of a cheaper, like, home movie type setup, but the leaps and bounds that have been done in the tech world with the processing chips, with the output capabilities, there was a lot of benefits to picking this over, say, using a mirrorless camera or a DSLR that we would use for our normal productions. And a big thing is camcorders don't have a recording limitation like your typical DSLR or mirrorless camera do. That was implemented to create a distinction between a video camera and a photo camera. So that was a big plus because we've got three of these, almost said Sony. We actually had a big debate over whether to go Sony or Canon for our equipment. But a big reason we went with three of those was because we run them into a Blackmagic switcher and we're able to record the podcast live cut between the different camera angles. So we're able to live stream with the setup, and the processor inside of the switcher keeps the quality at least 1080, which is a good, you know, baseline to mix things down to when you're talking about a project you want to release online. Obviously, everyone talks about 4K, but once you get into full frame HD, it just starts to really show and creates that distance. And also with a higher grade camera like what we went with, you have that focal length kind of flexibility, and you're able to do more with blurring out the background and create a lot of more options with that. And I was actually excited that we were able to splurge and get as nice of cameras as we were. So I think that really helps our podcasting episodes and products stand out.
For sure. Yeah, and on top of the podcast equipment, we then went for some Canon C200s for our cinema line video production capabilities. And we definitely had a back and forth with this as well on if we should go for a cinema camera versus, like, say, a DSLR or mirrorless level camera. And while we already had previously some mirrorless cameras, we opted for the cinema line of Canon because it just is going to be a higher level of quality for our clients. And it just does the job that we need to do just from a technicality standpoint with being able to choose like ISO, adding ND filters.
Oh, the ND filters. That's the biggest perk. We were out doing some B-roll for one of our larger documentary style recruitment type videos. Mm-hmm. And to be outside, not need to snap on like an ND filter to the lens and be able to just like modulate our exposure without having to compromise our aperture was so nice. And a big thing about going with the Canon cinema line was we wanted to basically start building our ecosystem of all the equipment we have. So previously our mirrorless cameras were Nikon and we wanted to upgrade everything. So by going with the cinema line and buying lenses, we're now able to, if we go and upgrade our run and gun setup and we get any Canon body, we can just use that because it will be the same mount. So we'll be able to use all our lenses together. So when you're buying equipment, it's important to keep in mind like where you want to be and the upgrades you'll be making down the line. Exactly. Because it's going to be a lot cheaper to stay in house and rotate through all that, those lenses. And even something that I've encountered in my own purchasing journey is Canon had an EF mount when they were doing DSLRs. And then when they went mirrorless, they created the RF mount, which you can get a $100 adapter straight from Canon that allows you to use your old lenses in the meantime while you upgrade all your stuff. So you're actually able to get some really good glass for cheap because they're discontinuing that kind of line and favoring this mirrorless mount. So you have the opportunity when you think about things as a whole to be like, okay, as I work towards stuff, I can still get a good deal and get a really high quality product that I can make my stuff with.
So with the C200s, we got the 24 to 70 lens. And so we wanted to get that because we felt like it was the most versatile lens to use for our type of shooting needs. But you can use all sorts of different types of lenses for the right type of job. There's also prime versus zoom lens. It really just depends on what you need. So
yeah, for sure. And every job is going to be different. Like everyone talks about the holy trinity of like lenses. You have like your 24 to 70, your 70 to 200, and then usually a really wide lens, like 11 millimeters, or maybe you go with a prime lens. I know 50 millimeters is considered, you know, a reflection of life. That's typically, if you have a portrait lens, it's going to be 50 millimeters normally. But especially for our situation, because we do a lot of video, a lot of stuff with moving parts, it makes a lot of sense for us to have variable lenses. So a 24 to 70 gives us that range. We can put it on a stabilizer and we can just lock it in on a certain millimeter and go. Or if we're at an event, we can kind of adjust accordingly because, you know, say you're at a conference and you're positioned in a certain position to get video. Well, if you want to get a close up on someone, you know, you can't change your position, but if you have a longer lens
moving or something like that, we have a lot of unpredictable scenarios that we encounter in our shooting.
Exactly. And a lot of times you won't know what a layout is going to be until you're already there. I know we work some conferences where we're literally in there an hour, 2 hours beforehand getting the lay of the land. And that's our first look at what our shoot is going to be like. We can make our best guess on where we're going to position our cameras, where we're going to put the microphones, all that stuff. But sometimes until the people roll in and you realize what the setup's going to be like, you kind of have to put the right lenses on for the right job. And so by us having flexible lenses like that, we're able to adapt pretty easily to pretty much any situation. And that was a big push on why I wanted those lenses to start with. And we can kind of build out from there.
For sure. Yeah. We do a lot of talking head type stuff. So those are just good bases because you're hitting that 50 millimeter range with that for our talking head type stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. And in the studio, one of my favorite accessories we got is we have like a teleprompter now. So yes. We're able to, it's literally just a mount where you can stare right into the camera lens and you just put an iPad on the bottom. It reflects out. And it's really helpful because not everyone is a public speaker type person. Not everyone oozes the charisma needed for that. So a lot of times people find that the script they write ahead of times or whatever verbiage we're trying to get out, it's easier to have that pre-written and someone read it. Now then you get into the whole, you know, it sounds like they're reading it off of a screen, which they are, but
yeah, it just helps alleviate the nervousness of people. A lot of people go in and they're super nervous to do a topic, even if they're an expert on a topic, just being in front of the camera can sometimes make people forget or something. So the teleprompter is really a handy tool for that type of scenario.
For sure. And a lot of what goes into video production, like you have all the gear, you're like, man, I spent all this money on this stuff. It looks great, you know, but knowing how to talk with the talent and how to get them comfortable is going to be really important. Because say you're doing like a testimonial where you're interviewing people that had a good experience with your brand, but if they're uncomfortable and they're uneasy, they're shifting a lot, they're making it seem like, you know, they don't want to be there, or they're kind of forced to be there, then it's not going to be as effective, even if you do all your post-production magic to make it look good. People can read people's body language, read how their tone and inflection are, and you just want to have that element in mind, because you could have the most expensive top of line equipment. We could have bought Red cameras for like $40,000, but if we don't know how to get the information out of whoever's in front of the camera or whatever we need to do, it's not going to come across well. And I see that all the time, where just because you have a fancy toy doesn't mean you know how to use it properly. And so having the right gear doesn't always mean spending top dollar. It means being really good at your craft and having enough product behind you that you can keep your output at a professional level. And then you can discuss like, okay, now I have the money to upgrade everything, but you don't have to like jump at like, oh, well, if I don't have, you know, the fancy cutting edge camera that does 8K raw, then what am I even doing?
Yeah. A lot of times, the person needs the right tool for the right job, and the right tool for the right job is sometimes different for everyone else. So you might not need a certain thing that someone else uses. So, you know, even if you watch a video on, you know, what are the best things, that might not be the best thing for you. You kind of have to test certain things out if you have the opportunity to, and find out what works for you.
Yeah. And that just goes into how we have our C200s, which are really good for more orchestrated stuff that's kind of, we can kind of lock ourselves down in a position, whether that's in the studio, in the field, whatever. Whereas a mirrorless camera, like some of the Nikons we have, are better equipped for a fast paced run and gun, like you're at an event or something where you just are constantly moving. It definitely has its time and its place.
Yeah, and it's also very lightweight and just mobile.
For sure. And also that has photo capabilities, whereas our C200s are designed to be video cameras. So you have to also keep that in mind, where if you want an event or you want coverage where you're doing high quality video and photos, well, then maybe you're looking at like the Canon R5C that has both built into it. Or maybe you're looking at getting two prosumer grade pieces of equipment, one that specializes in each, which is an approach that we've gone, where we've gotten a professional line of cameras for this, and we've gotten a professional line for our professional videos. And it's only a matter of time until we make more upgrades within our newly formed Canon ecosystem.
Yeah, next on the list is a photography level camera or lens added to the Nikons. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, definitely just need the right tool for the right job, like I said. But yeah.
And having the right tool for the right job sometimes means outsourcing to someone who knows what they're doing. Like, a big advantage to going with a studio like us over DIYing it and buying all that equipment is you don't need to buy all the equipment. You don't need to teach yourself how to shoot and edit and direct the talent and stuff. Sometimes it's a lot simpler to just say, hey, I'm just going to leave it to the professionals. It's easier for me to do all that, because it took us months to settle in on which pieces of equipment we wanted to buy. Not because we didn't know what we were doing, but because we wanted to make sure that each thing could accomplish what we wanted to do and provide the best product for each individual need that we were going to have. So because we offer podcast stuff, well, we knew we needed three cameras and the switcher and the microphones and all that stuff. And then for our professional line, we needed to make sure we could have those sit down interviews and have the teleprompter for that. And so for each thing, we really thought out, like, what is the best, not only for what we need to do output wise, but also best bang for our buck, and not like chase after shiny objects, because that's definitely a trap in the tech world. Is like, oh, this new cutting edge thing, where it's like, well, we've had really high quality graded cameras that are future proof for years and years, and those have existed for a handful of years now. I mean, 4K became the standard a handful of years ago, and it's only continued to become better. So if you don't have like 10 plus terabyte storages that you can just chuck all the footage into, having 8K raw isn't going to make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. And most consumers and clients aren't going to be have access to a computer or TV that can actually display that anyway. So
yeah, a lot of stuff caps out at 4K.
Yeah.
That's kind of where you start to lose some of that lossless quality. Mm-hmm. You're just like, okay, this looks really good. Like, mm-hmm. everyone talks about, you know, having stuff on the big screen and how it does that. But a lot of people are viewing their product on a smartphone or a tablet or a laptop screen. So you don't need to think about, you know, well, I'm shooting a movie and it needs to go on a big screen that's an entire room.
Yeah, most likely your clients will be looking on a phone at the end of the day. So, but yeah, as we mentioned too, well, with this stuff, we had a budget in mind with all of this. So when you're looking to either purchase your own equipment or go with a studio such as ours, you definitely want to have that budget in mind, just because it might not be worth it to you to spend all that money, all this gear and stuff, especially if you simply just don't know how to use it the proper way.
For sure. And if you've bought the stuff and you have a bit of buyer's remorse, the good thing is when you get in that professional line of stuff, like all the equipment we've bought, a lot of it holds its value, especially the lenses. Mm-hmm. They hold their value for years and years, whereas like camera bodies will slowly kind of go down in time as the new lines come out. But like, you can't really like rework glass too much. Like, certain ones will have features that are better than others, and you'll typically see like, oh, version 2 is like the best for the 70-200 lens. But beyond that, it's pretty much holds its value and they're very interchangeable.
Yeah. The main thing to look for in a lens too is what is the depth of field capabilities with that? Is it an F4 versus an F2.8, which may not seem like the biggest difference, but it makes a lot of difference.
And then you go to the prime lenses, you know, because with the fixed zoom, say it's a 24 or a 50, those go even lower. You can get those at like 1.4, and
yeah, it just really gives you that crisp cinematic look that even if it's 1080p or 4K, it's just going to look way better than something that doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm. So keeping in mind like where the output is, especially because I think about YouTube, it kind of caps at 4K anyway. So if you're down converting your videos at the end of the process to get it on, or you have a file size restriction because it's going on your website or whatever, that's something to keep in mind too, because larger files slow up your workflow. And honestly, 1080, that's all you need. at the end of the day, because I'll shoot in 4K and size down to 1080 for our releases for a lot of stuff, even though it's shot at 4K. And you get that flexibility, because if you shoot in 4K, you have the ability to punch in just because of the size difference of what you're able to shoot.
It's a lot more mobile friendly and just versatile in the way that you can use the footage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of our footage that we've shot over the years with certain clients, we try to optimize for mobile after uploading it to YouTube and stuff like that. So yeah, whatever your needs are, we can make it happen.
Well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for tuning in to the Lead Lamp Podcast. We'll be joining you next time where we can go in depth about another topic. And make sure to follow us on all our socials. We have leadlamps.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. You can find us pretty much anywhere.
At Lead Lamp Media.